Well, a raft of dramatic late goals last week have blown things wide open at the top of the Premier League, with just 4 points now separating sixth from first. We've also seen another managerial change, and another could be on the way in the near future. This promises to be a big weekend prior to the international break, and we'll be across all of it on The Assist. To this week's Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm delighted to say I've been joined again this week by both Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to discuss their thoughts and tips going into the latest round of Premier League and EFL fixtures. A couple of YouTube comments, though, to mention first up before we get into this weekend's games. Dickie2Cubes has been on and said, great call, Mark, on the Michael Keane bet, with Mark tipping up the 12-1 Everton defender to score against West Ham on Monday. And Pahak Uti has said, Chelsea looked like the first big club to have Club World Cup fatigue. Makes sense, because they went all the way and only had a short rest before pre-season. Keep your thoughts, of course, coming in on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Let's go straight into this weekend's action then, and we'll start off as ever with the list of priority, and the biggest game of the weekend is at 5:30 on Saturday at Stamford Bridge as Chelsea take on Liverpool. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. We'll start with the champions first off, back-to-back defeats, and the first questions, I think it's fair to say, of Arne Slot since he's taken over at Anfield.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Warren, because last season they made such a flying start, kind of felt like they had the league wrapped up really early on, unlucky in a couple of the cup competitions, reached the final, lost another big game on penalties in the Champions League. And it wasn't so often that kind of his tactics were questioned. And I think to some extent it's fair to question sort of what Liverpool are trying to do this season. They've changed a fair few players, and it doesn't sound like a big swap going from 4-2-3-1, having previously played 4-3-3. But when that one player, Florian Wirtz, hasn't started well, and you can't sort of dress that up, he just hasn't. That does sort of put pressure on the manager. I don't think Kerkez has been particularly strong at left back either, and so a couple of the signings just not hit the ground running, and that's understandable. I definitely don't think we're in crisis territory. I mean, it is only two matches, and Crystal Palace are a good side, and Galatasaray away is always going to be awkward in the Champions League. So I would, if I was a Liverpool fan, which I'm not, and a Liverpool backer, which I'm not, from Anti Post, I wouldn't be overly worried just yet. There's a long way to go. They've still won a lot of matches. They've got players to, Wirtz is not going to stay bad for the whole season. Isak will get fit. Salah's been quiet. Don't think that'll last, another 32 games. So I definitely wouldn't be panicking, if you're a Liverpool fan or backer.
Yeah, well, we're talking Chelsea in a moment, but just to quickly run you through the odds for Saturday's game: Chelsea 9-5 to claim the win, Liverpool 13-10, and the draw 14-5. I wanted to ask you, Dan, about Alexander Isak. What have you made of him so far, of what you've seen since he's moved into a red jersey?
I think at the moment he just doesn't look fully fit or fully sharp, and that's kind of understandable after what went on in the summer. I mean, every manager always talks about the importance of having a proper pre-season for teams. And then in his case, as an individual, he's going to need time, really, almost like his own mini, training schedule, which I'm sure Liverpool are working at constantly to get him to the levels that they need him to be at. I think the best will come from him as the season goes on, and probably the same from Wirtz. I think Wirtz is a bit more of an issue, because he just does, at the moment, he just seems to want too much time on the ball. Whenever the pace of the game, he just seems to not get his shots off in time, or he's getting caught on the ball. And I think there's a bit of an adjustment to the league there needed for him.
Couldn't agree more. Let's talk Chelsea then now, Mark, because an issue for them has been disciplinary-wise recently of late, of course. Three straight red cards in a row, and that's kind of coincided with not great performances either.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that they were in control of that first half against Brighton, though. And then you get the red card relatively early on in the game, not as early as the week before, but still early enough that it impacts completely on the result. And like that, there is a lack of discipline, clearly an issue, even in the week, you know, with João Pedro seeing red as well. Manager's fairly fiery, so you can imagine that it might kick off in the dressing room at times. And that was interesting. You sort of read out a comment there from one of our YouTube followers about like the lack of pre-season and the Club World Cup impacting. Like, it was new, wasn't it, the tournament? So we didn't know how it would, if it would at all, impact. There were some people saying that they might be actually start fitter than everyone else and have an advantage, and it would catch up with them as the season went on. Like, it might just be coincidence that Chelsea are running out of players, and Paris Saint-Germain, who they beat in the final, also got injury crisis at the moment. That they beat Barcelona, but had like five regular starters missing, didn't they, that game on Wednesday? So it doesn't look like at the moment that it's been like ideal from that point of view, just in terms of not having the summer to prepare for the season. But in terms of Maresca, I think this is a big sort of 3 or 4 weeks he's got coming up, because like within this month, I think they play Tottenham on the 1st of November, but they got like the month is like back ended by Liverpool and Tottenham games. They're like two of the big ones, really, for Chelsea fans in their season. There's a rivalry with both clubs that means that, you know, he really doesn't want to be losing both of those games because, you know, I'd say most people are still with him at the Stamford Bridge regulars, but there's definitely some that are, you know, thinking, is he the right guy for us?
I think, Dan, it's fair to say there's probably problems at both ends of the pitch for Chelsea at the moment, certainly defensively missing key players. And how much can we put down to the fact that Cole Palmer's not been fit for an extended period of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think both issues are major. I think Cole Palmer, they rely on him massively offensively. And it's a real worry, I think, because they're trying to sort of get a handle on this groin injury. I mean, whether he might eventually need surgery, who knows, at some point. They're trying to rest him for a few weeks at the moment. But if he wasn't able to play a real full part in the season, that would be a huge blow for them. And I've thought for a while defensively, they lack a bit of experience and leadership there, even when everyone's fit. Obviously, they've got injuries and personnel problems at the moment. But I even feel with a fully fit back line, I just think they lack a bit of a leader back there. You compare to other teams that are looking to challenge for the title, I just think defensively the likes of Arsenal, Liverpool, at the heart of their defence, centre-backs are much stronger.
Yep. Let's turn our attentions then to the tips for both Dan and Mark this week for the big clash at Stamford Bridge. Two relatively out-of-form teams there. Mark, how do you see this one going?
I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals and both teams to score. Chelsea, you mentioned there that they're not firing from an attacking point of view, but they've scored in all bar sort of one match, which was the opener. Liverpool, we've seen them, that they are wide open at the moment, full of goals, and I expect them, I would expect them to take advantage of Chelsea's problems defensively, and if you were looking to have a bet, I'd be sort of edging towards Liverpool. But I just think with the way that they're defending at the moment, both teams kind of going for goals is a sort of safer play.
About you, Dan, what's your selection here?
I'm going to go with a draw, and I mean, I think there could be goals, but I'm just struggling to fancy either to win the game here, really. I think, you know, Liverpool with it's the third sort of tough away game in a row for them, isn't it, after the Palace game and the trip to Galatasaray. I think they've got issues to sort out, and Chelsea without Palmer and conceding, you know, goals quite regularly, I think they got problems as well. I'm not so sure. I think if the game ended 2-2, I'm not so sure either manager would be, unhappy with that. I think possibly they would take that. So I think the draw at 14-5 looks overpriced.
Now we're off to the Emirates next for Arsenal against West Ham, one of the games that kick off at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Arsenal as short as 5-1 on. It's 14-1 West Ham and 21-4 the draw. Dan, all things looking relatively rosy in the Arsenal garden at the moment. I saw some bookmakers saying now that they are favourites for the title after that point swing last weekend. All of a sudden, it's kind of turned on its head for Arsenal.
Yeah, they're favourites. I think markets in general now are very reactive now to short-term events. And I think they did play well at Newcastle and got and probably deserved to win in the end. But it was a couple of late goals, and you kind of wonder where the market would be if Newcastle had held on and Arsenal had lost 1-0. There's such a lot of short-termism, I think, sometimes in the I'm not sure I would have them as favourites over the course of a long season, Liverpool to improve. But that's that strain off of this game. I think Arsenal at the moment, followed up with a nice solid 2-1 win in the Champions League, going well, at the moment in both competitions. I just don't see any real major problems here at all. I mean, Nuno's gone into West Ham. He got an improved performance at Everton, which I'm not that surprised about. They started the game, they weren't that great, to be honest, early on, and Everton probably should have forged, possibly more than the one goal ahead. But then West Ham grew into it and fully deserved their equaliser. But this is just a massive step up on playing away to Everton, and I just don't see them getting many sights of goal. I think Arsenal so solid defensively generally now, and that's where I'm going to go with this. Arsenal to win 2-0, only a shade of odds on. I think that's a reasonable bet.
I mean, the one thing you could say, Mark, in West Ham's favour going into this is the fact they've got a relatively decent recent record at the Emirates, although Nuno's not got a great record with Forest there and has already been beaten there this season.
Yeah, I certainly remember in the last couple of years West Ham have won there and drawn at the Emirates. They've had some real hidings, actually, at the London Stadium, but seem to enjoy going to Arsenal, given the difference in quality between the two teams. It's a really good record. I don't think that will be extended here, though. The way I was looking to play this one, the first goal to be a header at 5-1. If you look at sort of Arsenal, the biggest and sort of most powerful threat from dead balls, but it's not just the set pieces, because you've got Gyökeres up front, it could just be a cross, long throws. Yeah, there's lots of different ways that Arsenal can hurt you at the moment. They've scored the most headed goals in the Premier League, which is 5 this season. But I actually felt that West Ham defended the corners better against Everton than they did under Graham Potter. But it was still, from like a second phase of the corner that Everton took advantage. And yeah, I'm not sure that the goalkeeper dominates his box enough. And yeah, that's a big problem. And then that's the advantage for Arsenal, is they can beat you with silky football, but then they've also got this, Stoke-esque sort of path to goal as well. So yeah, the first goal to be a header at 5-1, not a bet I venture into regularly, but thought it was interesting in a game where, the favourites are fives on.
Healthy price as well. We mentioned Everton there, of course, because they got that draw with West Ham on Monday, and they're at home again at the Hill Dickinson Stadium on Sunday, a 2 o'clock kickoff against high-flying Crystal Palace, the only team in the league still who remain unbeaten so far this season. Everton 6-4 to claim the win here. It's 9-5 Palace, and the draw is 12-5. Just to touch upon Palace first, Mark, I mean, what is possible for them this season? Already, I know it's very early doors, but seeing them up in the top four of the table and playing as well as they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're 18 unbeaten in the Premier League. You've sort of, was it 18 games unbeaten overall? Rather than Premier League, going into this game on Thursday. But, like, the squad is tiny. So when you're talking about, like, what's achievable, if you're in a sort of multiple competitions, I think that will take its toll on. I'm looking like who would replace Mateta. Like there isn't really anybody, is there? And Ketty is a very different sort of type of striker. Like you got Will Hughes is next in from the central midfielders, but you wouldn't want to go any sort of time with Wharton not playing. I look at the three centre backs, like how many others? If you lost say Gehi, or Lacroix, like the standards drop off is significant. And I mean, that will sort of catch up with them throughout the season, particularly if they want to focus on the Conference League. So winning the Conference League is probably kind of the achievable outcome for Crystal Palace this season. I think in terms of this game, I think the fact that they're playing on Thursday is why I'm not going for them to get the win. I've gone for the draw. Your betting suggests it'll be a tight game. And that's the way I think it will play out as well.
Mentioned Adam Wharton there. And I think it would be, if things stay as they are at the moment, almost unthinkable that he's not involved in the England squad in the World Cup in the summer. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. From an Everton point of view, Yeah, they seem to be sort of taking a couple of steps forward and a couple of steps back, Dan, in terms of form recently. But obviously, they're still trying to keep that new stadium a bit of a fortress, and they've not lost there yet.
No, little bit of a sticky spell recently, though, haven't they? They lost the, I know the losing to Liverpool is no far from a disgrace, but losing the derby for them would have been a painful one. Getting knocked out of the EFL Cup, I think they were quite keen on a run in that as well at Wolves. That was a blow, and then the drop 2 points at home to West Ham as well. So it's a bit of a sticky spell. Haven't lost at home yet though, which is and I think if I was pushed to like a draw no bet to go either way, I would probably just go with Palace. But I think I agree with Mark about having the Thursday night game as well. Everton are, a tough team to play against. Still not lost at home, so I just can see a tight game. I think the draw is a standout bet.
Also at 2 o'clock on Sunday, it is St James's Park, the venue for Newcastle against Nottingham Forest. Dan, it must have been gut-wrenching for Newcastle to lose the way that they did against Arsenal last weekend, but they responded in really good fashion in the Champions League in midweek.
They did. I watched their game actually against the Union Saint-Gilloise. Did I say
Yeah, I think I'm very good.
But they were. It was hard to judge that the Belgian side looked very poor, certainly in both boxes, and the Newcastle looked very good. Looked a big class gap, but it was certainly would have done a lot for their confidence. After the way the game turned around against Arsenal. This is probably my least confident prediction of the lot this weekend, but I'm just not comfortable with Newcastle's price here odds on against Nottingham Forest. So I do, although they haven't won yet, there's a few of their performances. The Betis away in the Europa, I thought in a tough away game they played well. There were probably the better side. The Sunderland game they created a load of chances and just missed too many of them. Okay, it's still a very poor result, but. I'm just at the. They're only a point actually below Newcastle in the table. Newcastle's only win so far was a 1-0 at home to Wolves. I'm just not comfortable with them at odds on. So I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to go with Forest or draw double chance.
To confirm what Dan said there, Newcastle 13-20 to claim the win. It's 15-4 Forest and 16-5 the draw. Should there be some concerns at Forest, Mark, after how things have gone since Big Ange has arrived?
Of course they should. I think they were looking to push on this season, which I think was difficult because they overachieved last season. And if you have a look at like the underlying stats, Chris Wood, just how likely was it that he'd have a season like he did? Sales in goal was, a bit of a joke figure when he was at Newcastle, and then turns into one of the goalkeepers of the season. Then you change the manager after a few matches of this campaign. Load of new players have come in. Like their squad is the complete opposite of Crystal Palace. Just in, but I think it's really difficult to know what Nottingham Forest best 11 is now, because it just is actually Chris Wood the best striker? Because they've brought in somebody potentially to sort of take that spot. Like the midfield, Gibbs White hasn't sort of started this season the way that he played most of last season. You've got McAtee to fit in there somewhere. It just got a lot of players and a lot of working out for Postecoglou to do. But like this dominating games and doing well on the stats and losing was, I mean, it was the same at Tottenham for most of his time there. And I even remember when he was at Celtic in the Champions League, they often caught the eye with the way that they played. And just lost games. Now, when he was playing in Scotland, it was easier because Celtic was so much better than everyone else. But I just think that his teams just give up too many opportunities. And I think Newcastle confidence restored after beating Union on Wednesday. Extra 24 hours to prepare for the match. I think that they're. I can't remember what price you said, but I think I've seen 7-10 around, which I actually thought was more than fair, actually.
Well, we're going to head to Elland Road next for Saturday's early kickoff as Leeds play host to Tottenham, and Leeds are 17-10 to claim the victory here. Spurs 6-4, and it's 5-2 the draw. I didn't actually see Tottenham's Champions League game in midweek, Mark, but to come back from 2-0 down, which was quite a glaring scoreline at Bodo Glimt at one stage, and get a draw, what did you make of the overall display?
Oh, the overall display stunk the place out for about what 70 minutes. They were awful. And yeah, there's some reasons for it. They rested some key players, Kudos, Simons, Romero. The pitch, obviously artificial surface, not used to it. Traveling to the Arctic Circle, you probably wouldn't be on your list of things to do. It was Bodo Glimt's first game in the Champions League proper. I think they're a better side than people give them credit for as well. I mean, I saw the BBC report afterwards referred to them as minnows and how Tottenham avoided a huge shock. I mean, Spurs were about 11 to 10 to win there. So, overall, the draw's not a disastrous performance, a disastrous outcome, but the performance was really bad and they definitely did not deserve the draw. They didn't play very well against Wolves before that. So, there'll be a response needed, I would say. That against that, I would just add that I think that they, until they sort out their attacking kind of philosophy under Frank, I think they might be better suited to playing away games in the Premier League. And that's why I'm going for the draw in this game at Elland Road. I mean, Leeds have drawn their last two home games and it could have been three, couldn't it? They got that soft penalty against Everton. And at the top level, Spurs did beat Donny, but the sort of three games outside of that were all draws as well. And it's the biggest price of the three outcomes and looks like a massive runner to me.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds 4 points from the last two games, Dan, which has been a big lift for Daniel Farke, who was feeling a little bit of pressure, I think, from the Elland Road faithful. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, Leeds are sort of they're bobbing along okay now, aren't they? Got 8 points now, decent draw against Bournemouth, who we all rate as a good side. So got an excellent win at Wolves, who then the game after were superb. Should have won at Spurs. And Spurs, the last two performances, well, let's just say they were okay in the first half against Wolves. The second half against Wolves, they were absolutely dreadful. For the vast majority of the game against Bodo, they were awful. Really should have the game should have been dead and buried if Bodo had finished better. And Bodo's defending let them down a little bit as well. But I look at Spurs' performance. I mean, it's too simplistic, really, I suppose. But they went to Bodo in the Europa last season, and although it was a tricky game, they actually gave up very few opportunities, and after a tricky first half, won the game 2-0 comfortably, 5-1 on aggregate, and that level that going forward, the last two performances they look a mess going forward. Defensively, you can say the structure still looks okay at times, although they were ripped apart. Let's be honest against Bodo, and Romero coming back, they will make a difference, and they'll be a little bit stronger. Kudos starting, and I think the market has massively reacted to these performances as well. I mean, newly promoted team, Spurs going there, 6-4 to win. Initially, I'm thinking I'd like to find a way of getting against Spurs here, but given the players coming back and the prices where they are, I'm actually going to go with a draw. I think I agree with Mark. I think probably the most likely outcome of the three, and it's the biggest price.
Hey, well, five down, five to go in the Premier League, and it's to Old Trafford next for Saturday's 3 o'clock kickoff between Manchester United and Sunderland. United are 2-1 on to claim the win. Sunderland 19-4, and it's 15-4 the draw. Dan, I saw Manchester United's defeat at Brentford last week, and I have to say, off the back of that performance, I'm quite surprised to see the prices, as I've just read out for this weekend's game. They were all over the shop at times. And again, we're talking about Ruben Amorim again going into this weekend under huge pressure, especially with the international break coming up.
Yeah, I agree, Warren, but I just think I'm more wary with about opposing United at home. The fans there, well, whether you say to their credit or not, or whether they're just mad, they do seem to be quite supportive of him. Certainly the home fans, and they're getting behind him. And it's not, I mean, in home games, it doesn't seem a toxic atmosphere. And I think it contributes sometimes to their performance. They flew out of the blocks against Chelsea, got the red card in their favour, went on to win the game. Okay, Burnley, they've sort of scraped to win, weren't great. The Arsenal game that they lost at the start of the season as a home performance was a pretty strong performance. So I am more wary about opposing them at Old Trafford. And I do think that they'll get the win here. I think they've got better players than Sunderland. Sunderland have started extremely well, considering what their expectations are. Xhaka's doing a great leadership job, and as a player in that midfield, got a brilliant 1-0 win at Forest. But Forest, as I said earlier, did miss a lot of chances. I don't think they're going to get a bundle of points away from home. And I'm not sure they'll get anything here. I'm going to go United and under 4.5 goals, because I don't see the way United are playing. They're going to suddenly go and score a lot of goals against quite a well-organised Sunderland team. That's just a shade of odds on.
Yeah, Mark, I was preparing for that Manchester United game last week and looking at the stats and seeing that they hadn't won back-to-back Premier League games under Ruben Amorim. I just find it incredible that that has not been the case. And as Dan's alluded to there, you know, they do look more solid outfit at home than they do away from home, but still you'd have your massive concerns about them.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be putting them in sort of the Akers. But they are, yeah, twos on against Sunderland at home. I mean, I think the market does understand that they're a bad side, United now. And, you know, you look at like Arsenal are fives on to beat West Ham, mm-hmm. as a kind of comparison there. Like, it sounds like Amorim's compensation package goes down in November once he's been there a year. So it might be that November international break that, you know, things don't improve, that they look to make the change. In terms of this game, I was struggling for a bet, but if you shop around, Hume, the Sunderland right back, is 3-1 to be carded. He's as short as 7-4 elsewhere now. I think the disparity is because he hasn't been booked this season, but he was an absolute walking card last season, both for Northern Ireland and for Sunderland. Picked up 11 yellows and a red in the Championship. Loves a tackle, got 14 tackles already, which is easily the most for Sunderland. And he'll be up against probably like Cunha likes to play out there, you know, quite a tricky player to be up against. And, you know, if you are sort of Sunderland manager, you'd say get in their faces and make it difficult. So he might be somebody that, you know, oversteps the mark.
I have to say, Cunha was probably Manchester United's best player at Brentford last week as well. Speaking of Brentford, they're next on the agenda. They play host to Manchester City on Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff. And, well, Brentford would surely be buoyed from their performance against Manchester United last week. And City go into this game, Mark, off the back of conceding another late goal, this time in the Champions League.
Yeah, the Man City game, like against Monaco, just reminded me of the Brighton game when they gave away that stupid penalty there. Because in control, they're winning the game. Look like, you know, if they want to step it up, they can just go and get that sort of killer goal to go two in front. But, you know, they're also, you know, just think they can be clever and just see it out. And then don't deal with a set piece, give away a penalty and, you know, more drop points this time in the Champions League. But, I mean, generally speaking, they are getting better and they are looking a threat. And Erling Haaland, the header against Monaco, sensational. His second goal, I mean, he's, I think playing as well as what I have probably ever seen him play. Because when he was scoring loads of goals previously and for Dortmund, I wasn't always convinced by his overall play. But I think he's actually improved that side of things this season as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Brentford nicked something on the break or from a set piece. So a couple of different ways to play. It could go City and both teams to score. I'm going City and over 2.5 goals because, like, they are looking slick in the final third. And if they sort of step on the gas, they might be able to cover the line themselves.
In terms of the odds for this game, Brentford 15-4, City 8-13, and the draw 7-2. Where do you see Man City being at the moment, Dan? Are they in a position where they are definitely title contenders this season?
I think so, yeah. I also think Mark missed an obvious pun there with City Slickers and that with, you know, in the last year. But I think they're improving. And I look at their, yeah, I see them. Arsenal and Liverpool, I see it as a three-team race. I think, lost two of the first three games in the Premier League. All competitions now, they're unbeaten in six. I mean, the late goal conceded against Monaco. Apart from that, the only other draw in there was at Arsenal, where they conceded late again. But they are, you know, getting a bit more back to the City we know, getting in front in games, largely, apart from against Arsenal, largely dominating games. And I think they'll be too strong for Brentford. Got a very similar argument. I think Brentford may nick a goal, you know, either on the break or from a set piece. They're doing okay, really, under Keith Andrews. You know, I think probably better than a lot of people thought they might do. But I think City will be a bit too good here. I'm going to go City to win an entertaining game, City and both teams to score.
Okay, next up is another Sunday fixture. This time a 2 o'clock kickoff at Villa Park as Aston Villa play host to Burnley in the Battle of the Claret and Blues. Villa 4-7 to claim the win here, 19-4 Burnley, and the draw 13-10. I think there have been a few concerning voices around Villa Park when they fell behind to Fulham down last week, but then eventually did turn it around and got that much needed win.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a result, or maybe in Villa's case, two results, just to sort of like get your season up and running. I mean, the Bologna game, I think, was quite important as well, just to get the victory and stop the rot. And then the Fulham, as you rightly said there, Warren, the Premier League form has been awful, to fall behind, come back and win. You know, not an easy game. I think the mood there is starting to change now. And they have got a squad, you know, as they've shown for a couple of seasons now, that can certainly compete at, you know, towards the right end of the table. And I think they might start to kick on now. Burnley, I would have serious kind of worries about them. I'm looking at the, you know, 11 goals they've scored. They've conceded in three away games, which is that's a major concern for a team that's really, you know, prided themselves and based their, you know, getting into the league in the first place on solid defence. I think they're going to be in big trouble this season. And Villa, I think, will win this game fairly comfortably. So I'm going to go with Villa -1 on the Asian handicap, but just a shade of odds on. That means if Villa win by a single goal, you'll get your stakes returned.
As Dan sort of mentioned there, Mark, you know, the concern for Burnley now will be not only are they not really necessarily scoring that many goals at the top end of the pitch, but they are now starting to leak them on the road.
Yeah, I've got exactly the same bet. Villa -1 on the Asian handicap. If you were being generous to Scott Parker and his side, you'd say they were difficult away games, Tottenham, City and, you know, Man United. You can insert your own gag there. But, you know, as Dan's already said, you know, United have actually done reasonably well in their other home games as well. So, like, there'll be easier fixtures to come by for Burnley on the road. You know, sort of, you're not going to be playing away to Man City every week. But I think Aston Villa away with confidence restored is sort of not the ideal trip to be going into after getting, you know, hammered by City. So, I expect this to be fairly comfortable for Villa and then sort of start to kickstart their season, really.
We do have a Friday night Premier League game this week as well, and it takes place at the Vitality Stadium where Bournemouth play host to Fulham. Bournemouth 17-20 to win this game. Fulham 3-1 and the draw 14-5. And Bournemouth, again, another point last week at Leeds. Maybe you could argue that a lot of people thought they might pick up all three at Elland Road, but certainly sat in the top four still, Mark, and going along quite nicely.
Yeah, I suppose, like, we need to just understand where Bournemouth are, because sometimes I can sort of overrate them sometimes and think, oh, why are they not winning at Leeds? Well, yeah. You know, a point for Bournemouth at Leeds is definitely not a disastrous result. In terms of this game, I mean, like, Fulham are a side that I just wonder if they're kind of, I suppose I mentioned last week about, like, killer instinct, but when you sort of feel like you're going to be in mid-table from the beginning of October, like, I just think there's some games, like, particularly away from home, where you just wonder whether they're all in on it, and they can, I think, sometimes just go through the motion slightly and not be fully at it. You know, they've not got this baying crowd that's going to get on the players' back. It's quite a nice team to play for, really. And in terms of this game, I've gone for Bournemouth to win by one goal exactly, 11-4. All Bournemouth's wins this season have been by one goal, but that's not the main reason. They've given up only 1.3 in expected goals against in their three home games. So lost all the defence, but they, just as a team, they defend really well. And I think Fulham might struggle to open them up. But, you know, Bournemouth not got loads of goals in them either.
Part of the problem for me, I think, Mark, with Fulham is that Marco Silva likes to chop and change his side quite a lot. And I sometimes wonder whether he thinks, if he definitely knows what his best 11 is.
I thought you was going to say he always moans at the referee. I mean,
that goes without saying.
Every time. I think Fulham and, you know, Chuck Arsenal, I don't think they've ever lost a game that wasn't the referee's fault. But I think if you're Fulham and you're not, you know, they're not in Europe, you need to try to keep the players happy that are not in the starting 11, and that's not easy. And I think they've just got a bunch of players that are all of a similar ability. Like if Jimenez or Muniz is up front, like that don't really seem to matter. If Smith Rowe starts or he doesn't, it doesn't really seem to have a you just play Harry Wilson. So I think he's just got players of a similar level, and they're kind of just good Premier League players, which is why they're probably going to finish, I don't know, somewhere between what, 9th and 13th this season. Feel like they're one of the easier teams to predict long term.
At the moment, Rodrigo Muniz looks like he's going to be missing again for Fulham. Raul Jimenez picked up an injury problem as well last week. I just wonder whether that will have an impact down on Friday's game.
Well, they might have to just, focus on getting a few more goals from the midfield players. I don't. I think Fulham are kind of bobbing along okay. Last season, I mean, Bournemouth get a hell of a lot of credit, but they were only 2 points over the course of a whole season above Fulham last season. They're 3 points above them this season. I don't think certain teams, I don't think, have a great deal of home advantage as well. And I think it sometimes could be linked to how intimidating the venue is. I've been to Fulham, and I think often, I mean, you look at their home and away form. Last season, Fulham actually got a couple more points away than they did at home. So they're generally quite a good away side. And Bournemouth last season, you look at them home and away, they're 28 points at home, 28 away. I don't think their ground as well is a massive home advantage. Now, they've got 7 points at home this season out of three, which is great for Bournemouth, but it's quite a small sample size. I just think that Bournemouth are probably a slightly better side, but with the kind of lack of home advantage I'm alluding to, I'm not sure the prices are quite right. I'm going to go with Fulham or draw double chance.
And last but not least, we're going to head to Molineux for another 2 o'clock game on Sunday. Wolves against Brighton. I can tell you that Wolves are 11-4 to claim the win. It is 10-11 Brighton and 11-4 also the draw. Wolves, like you said, Dan, performed well at Tottenham last week, and at least they could take something out of that game to maybe build upon.
They performed very well. I mean, I moaned earlier as a Spurs fan about how Spurs played, but credit to Wolves, they were superb and played pretty well first half. The manager, to his credit as well, he didn't settle for that. He's actually changed the system, gone from the four that he started with to a three at the back, and they were considerably even better in the second half. And for them, from their point of view, to not win the game was a travesty, really. But I still think they're going to take a hell of a lot out of performance. They played very well in the cup game as well before that, where they beat Everton. And I think they're starting to. I think this is the bet of the weekend. Actually, going to go with Wolves or draw double chance. I think they'll get. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the game. Brighton this season, they've had a couple of wins against very big teams, both of them for. Certainly, for over half the games against Man City and against Chelsea, they were being outplayed. So I'm not completely sold on Brighton. I think this is a tough away game. I think Wolves will get something.
What do you make of this one?
I've got exactly the same bet down, really. Some Wolves not to lose the match. I think odds on for Brighton feel short at Molineux, and Strand Larsen sort of having him back up front, like. It's a big deal for Wolves because I think that was one of the issues they had sort of at the start of the season. He wasn't there, he wanted to move to Newcastle and he was injured, and I might put that in inverted commas as to sort of how injured he was. But he knows he can't move now. He's up front, gives them leads the line well. And this is not just a reaction from me anyway, in terms of the Spurs game, because if you remember the week before, I was pretty sweet on them when they actually lost to Leeds. But I agree with Dan that I think they've got the players to really sort of grow into the season. I don't think they're as bad as the table suggests, that's for sure.
Okay, that's the Premier League covered then this week. Up next, it's your FPL update, and then we'll discuss all things EFL. Well, it's that time again when Tom Hill joins us to talk us through the best players to consider in FPL Game Week 7.
Game Week 7 is here, and it's the start of the fixture swing for the likes of Arsenal and Liverpool, while Manchester City's fixtures remain tempting. This week's deadline is on Friday at 6:30, so be sure to lock in those teams and get ready before that Saturday moment of regret. Due to those congested European fixture lists, we actually have more games planned on Sunday than Saturday, and the pick of those fixtures comes on Saturday night at 5:30, as Chelsea welcome Liverpool to Stamford Bridge. Let's take a look at the three best outfield players for the week. We'll start in defence, and our recommendation for game week 7 is Gabriel, priced at 6.2 million. Arsenal have a whopping 51% chance of a clean sheet this week as they prepare to take on West Ham at the Emirates. Gabriel, who scored the winner at Newcastle, grabbing 3 bonus and 19 defensive contributions, is expected to play despite being subbed early against Olympiacos. He scored 6 points or more in 4 of the 6 game weeks and will continue to be a threat from set pieces, while his DEFCON numbers are also good, averaging 9 per 90 in the league so far. West Ham did manage to score against Everton in their first game under Nuno Espirito Santo, but this is a totally different kettle of fish against the Gunners. In midfield, it's hard to look past the in-form Antoine Semenyo, who has since gone up in price to £7.8 million. He's a minutes monster, having played 6 consecutive 90s, 4 goals and 2 assists to his name in that time. He netted against Leeds and faces a Fulham side that have kept 1 clean sheet so far this season. Semenyo netted against the Cottagers last year and he is in fine form. Only 2 players have had more shots than him from midfield and he looks like he could be able to haul once again. For the second week in a row, Erling Haaland is our striker pick of the week. Despite costing £14.4 million, he was transferred in by over 650,000 managers, delivered the goods with a brace last week. It's now 8 goals and 1 assist to his name, and this week he faces a Brentford defence that have already conceded 11 goals in 6, and Haaland could easily rack up the goals in this fixture. He and Semenyo are fast becoming locks in our teams, certainly for the foreseeable future. Game week 7 captaincy is a simple decision for those that followed our triple captaincy suggestion. Haaland managed to score 48 points and he's going to be the overwhelming choice again this week. It's a safe pick in fine form against a weak defence. Let's just keep it simple and go from there. Due to his ownership and form, it's hard to pick an alternative, but people, of course, always want to be different. Witzel Gyökeres will be the choice for some, but the Gunners' frontman has yet to prove he can line up and deliver and certainly live up to the hype this season. Bruno Fernandes' ability to score from the spot, or should I say inability to score from the spot for now, keeps him away from our radar, so Semenyo is the preferred choice. He's picked up maximum bonus twice already this season, and a home fixture against Fulham is a perfectly good fixture to target.
Big thanks to Tom Hill for his input then on Fantasy Premier League, and we're going to turn our attentions now to the English Football League and the EFL once again bringing up headlines left, right and centre. But the main focus probably this week, it's fair to say, will be on a derby clash. It's the East Anglian derby with just 1 point separating the two sides. Who are the most likely to challenge for promotion, I suppose, Dan, is the big question at the minute. Is it Ipswich or is it Norwich?
Oh, definitely Ipswich. Yeah, they're improving. I mean, they've got off to an awful start, didn't they? I think the 5-0 against Sheffield United was the trigger. Didn't play that great the game after at Blackburn. Got away with it being washed out, didn't they? But you know, since then they've not lost. Got come from behind to get a decent point at Bristol City. And Norwich at the moment, their home form has been absolutely dreadful. They haven't got a point yet at home, Norwich. So I think there's pressure mounting there on Liam Manning. And the way things are going, I can see Norwich finishing probably bottom half of the table. Don't see them getting dragged into a relegation battle. But for them, that would still be, you know, a very poor season. And Ipswich, I would say, top 6 minimum. I would actually still fancy them to be in the top 2.
You were sweet, Mark, on Ipswich when they went up last time around. Can you see them challenging again?
I mean, I think that was more based on price sort of 2 years ago. You know, when they came up from League One, like the sort of ratings had them down as like a top 6 championship team, and that wasn't maybe sort of in the prices. I think what they'll be helped with this season is that, and I think I've mentioned this before, like there's not a 100-point team in the championship. So like we become used to feeling like you had to go to Bristol City and win, for instance, because you know, you needed a really big total. It's not going to be the case this season. None of the promoted teams have started that well, you know, so far. So they've not lost loads of ground. I don't think Middlesbrough will win the league. I mean, the team I put up at the start of the season was Coventry. Obviously, had a brilliant win at Millwall. Give them a good hiding in midweek. I know Frank Lampard saying he's just concerned about the size of the squad, but like of the three, I still like, obviously, Coventry, given how they started. But of the three that came down, I'd still say that Ipswich are, quite considerably the most likely to gain promotion straight back to the Premier League.
Mentioned that being the game of the week, by the way, in the championship. Should mention as well that probably half of America might be watching Wrexham against Birmingham at the Racecourse Ground on Friday night for one reason or another due to the owners of both teams. But we're going to look at the best bets from Dan now across the EFL this weekend. And we'll start off in the championship, Dan. Who are we looking at here?
I'm going to go with in the championship with Preston to win at home to Charlton. Both teams just outside the playoffs at the moment. I'm not sure whether either will be able to sustain a top six challenge, but I think Preston would be more likely. I think their home form is certainly standing them in good stead. I'm looking at the teams I've had to play at home: Leicester, Ipswich, Middlesbrough, Bristol City. Four tough games, and they've took 8 points from them games. I mean, they beat Leicester and Ipswich in there, and I think for Charlton they've come up. Plenty of momentum. They're doing very well. The best at the moment of the three promoted clubs. But just a few little signs that things may be starting to wane. They were well down on the shot stats in a 1-1 draw away to Derby on Tuesday. I think this game at Preston looks a bit tougher. So Preston about 6-4 to win at home, given that home form I've mentioned about. I think looks a bit overpriced.
Okay, so Preston to win at Deepdale in their clash with Charlton in the Championship. What about League One, Dan? Who are we looking at here?
I'm going to go. I mean, it's an obvious one to me. Lincoln to win at home to Exeter. Only a shade of odds on, 3-4 the last time I looked. There's only a 5-point gap between these teams last season, but it looks like Lincoln have recruited very well, and Exeter maybe not so well. I mean, Exeter have had 7 losses out of 10 games, lost the last 4 games. There's nothing, not reinventing the wheel, we're giving a tip. It just seems an obvious one to me. Lincoln are playing so well. Unbeaten at home in the league, gave Chelsea a massive run for their money in the EFL Cup. I think they'll be too strong.
Yeah, I looked at the form guide in League One and it was just WWW after Lincoln recently. They are in a good run at the moment. And last but not least, we're looking at League Two, Dan.
Yeah, another shade of odds on Cambridge at home to Crawley. Both these teams are relegated from League One last season. Cambridge have adapted a lot better under Neil Harris, which I'm not surprised at because they've got pretty decent budget there, but Bonner's back involved there as well, working upstairs. At home, 10 points they've already got from 5 home games. I think Cambridge will get better as the season goes on. And Crawley are having a right struggle at the moment. 6 defeats in their 10 games. Lost 2-1 at home to Barrow last weekend, which is a real concerning result and performance. I don't see them getting anything away to Cambridge.
Okay, big thanks to Dan then for his EFL bets for this week. We'll give Mark a turn with a Premier League bet builder now. And which game are we looking at, Mark?
I'm going to Stamford Bridge, Warren. Chelsea against Liverpool. Both teams to score the first leg. I mean, like Liverpool, so much power up front. Be a big surprise, I think, if Chelsea kept them out. And despite the Blues not sort of having strikers that you sort of massively rely on, they have scored in all bar one of their games this season in the Premier League. That was sort of opening weekend when they didn't score against Crystal Palace. Over 2.5 goals in the game as well. Chelsea got a lot of the sort of centre-backs out through either injury or suspension at the moment. And that Liverpool quality up front is there for all to see. And then finally, discipline has been an issue for Chelsea in recent weeks. Cucurella to have over 1.5 fouls in the game. In 2 of his last 4 matches, he's had 3 fouls in total. So I think it's like something like 3-1-0-3, something like that. In terms of the run, it's 5-1 for those 3 legs of the bet builder. And of course, Cucurella is up against Mohamed Salah, who hasn't had the best of starts to the season, but is always going to be a problem for left backs.
Okay, that's Mark's bet builder then for this week for the Chelsea-Liverpool clash. Time to move on to the assist treble now, when we have one selection from each of us. And we'll start, Dan, with your pick first for the treble.
Yeah, going to go with that Lincoln bet at home to Exeter. Lincoln just going fantastic. The Exeter manager, Gary Caldwell, in a few of his interviews has said that against physically strong teams, they have to play their way, because he's basically said that they can't match teams in terms of, direct long ball tactics. Well, Lincoln are one of the most physical direct teams in the division. They do it really well, especially at home. I think that's a real worry for Exeter. I don't think they'll be able to contain them. Lincoln to win.
Okay, Mark, who's your selection?
I'm going to France for Marseille to win away at Metz. Marseille won 3 in a row. And even before that, they were really unlucky against Real Madrid. I don't know if you saw that Champions League game, but they definitely didn't deserve to lose at the Bernabeu. We're back in form in Europe in midweek. Metz's XG is absolutely shocking in Ligue 1. I know it's early days, but it is terrible. And they lost by 3 goals against both Monaco and Lyon this season. So they're 8-15, Marseille.
I didn't see that Real Madrid-Marseille game, but I did see clips of Roberto De Zerbi, and it's good to see that he's not changed, jumping on.
No, they're still aggressive on and off the pitch and sort of the way that they play. He's quite chirpy, isn't he?
Yes. So Lincoln and Marseille are the first two selections of the treble. I'm going to go into League Two, and I'm going with Notts County to beat Oldham at around about 23-20. Now, these two sides are level on points. There's only one place separating at the moment, but Notts County have won 4 matches to Oldham's 3, and it's their home form which is edging me towards them this time around. They're unbeaten in the last 5 at home in all competitions. That includes a 4-0 win over Crawley in their last league game at Meadow Lane. Oldham scored just 2 goals in 4 away games before their 3-0 win at bottom club Cheltenham last time out. So not necessarily free-flowing in terms of goals on the road, Oldham. And I think Notts County and their home advantage can see them come out on top. So the assist treble this week then, Notts County, Lincoln and Marseille. And we'll conclude with the naps of the week from both Dan and Mark. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going to go Wolves or draw double chance against Brighton. I'm going to stick my neck out here and say I do not see Wolves getting relegated. I think they're going to pick up and have a reasonable season. And I've got Brighton, the 2 games that they won that I mentioned, the Man City game changes with a penalty, and the Chelsea game changes with a Chalabar red card. I'm not completely sold on Brighton. Tough game for them. Wolves or draw double chance.
Okay, and what about your nap of the week, Mark?
St James's Park, Newcastle to beat Nottingham Forest. Extra day of rest, which I think will come in handy. And Newcastle haven't got a great home record this season, but they were losing Isak. They had to, then Gordon got sent off. They've had to integrate Voltamade into the team. And then you have a look at actually the teams where they've slipped up, if in inverted commas, at home. Arsenal, Liverpool and Barcelona. Go and take a look at the Champions League outright betting, and you haven't got to go too far down that list to see all 3 of those teams. And so this is a good opportunity for them to get the win like they did against Wolves earlier on in the season.
Yeah, well, a big thanks to both Mark and Dan for all their input this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Just a quick reminder, there'll be no assist next week due to the international break, but there'll be plenty of other sports shows to look forward to on the Racing Post YouTube channel, including the Golf Sweet Spot and the Punt Team, our new NFL show as well. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but for now, enjoy your football this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.